This is Ram Showcase with your host, Sheriff Joe Bags.
Rams fans, welcome into Ram Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. We have a bit of a special episode for you today, as we will be talking about the Los Angeles Rams 2024 NFL schedule. We got it pretty recently, so I wanted to dive in and kind of take a peek at each week's storylines and the history of each of these matchups. Before we dive in, at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, and ramshowcase.com. That's where you can follow along on the internet. And before we dive into the actual games that the Rams will be playing, I just wanted to kind of take a snapshot of the 2024 Los Angeles Rams, as we are seeing them now in what is being recorded in early June, and what kind of we're looking forward to as the season creeps up. So the Los Angeles Rams entering their 87th season with a total record of 614, 599, and 21. Los Angeles Rams enter 2024 trying to add to their four current championships and two Super Bowls. The Rams are led by head coach Sean McVay. He is entering his eighth season as the Rams head coach and is currently third for most games coached by a Rams head coach. He is just three short of tying Chuck Knox, so he will have more games coached for the Rams than Chuck Knox come week four. McVay is also only five losses away from leading the team all time in that category. He currently has 70, and John Robinson with the most at 75. Sean McVay is seventh in team history in win percentage, and he has coached the most playoff games for the Rams, though, with the most playoff wins by three, and is one of four all-time coaches for the Rams with a championship, joining Dick Vermeil with a Super Bowl championship and Joe Staudihar and Adam Walsh with other championships before it was the Super Bowl, of course. Let's take a look at the leaders on this team. Matthew Stafford is the clear-cut guy at this point, and he is entering his fourth season as the Rams head coach, 16th NFL season. Stafford's still playing at a very high level right now, a top-tier level, and any season right now could be his last. So kind of what we're looking at as we creep into this season, possibly the following season, is not knowing that at any moment we could be watching Matthew Stafford for the last time, which is something that we didn't really feel with Aaron Donald. I guess within the building kind of felt that could be his last game, or that was his last game. But from the fan perspective, we kind of, in a sense, were a little bit blindsided from that, even though the retirement conversations had been going on. So Matthew Stafford is kind of that next guy that we're looking at, that he could be walking away at any moment, and has definitely solidified himself in Rams history. Stafford is 24-17 as the Rams starting quarterback, and is one of two quarterbacks in team history to lift a Super Bowl trophy, joining, of course, Kurt Warner. Stafford is ninth in Rams history in passing yards, but with a reasonable season, could jump up to seventh or even sixth just this year. Sixth would have to be a pretty strong season, but obviously we've seen what he's capable of. Kyren Williams ended last season as one of the best backs in the NFL. The Rams also did add to that grouping with Blake Corum out of Michigan, the running back, who is essentially extremely similar to Kyren Williams. So that's good news for the Rams offense. When Kyren Williams needs to take a couple of breaths on the sideline, Blake Corum coming into the offense doesn't feel like that'll be a hit. Of course, we got to get him into the league and get him running on NFL fields before we're totally comfortable with that. But it does seem like they are essentially a little bit interchangeable, which is really good news. Rams also add to the ground attack with Boston Scott, who could be utilized on the offense, but does figure to be used more as a returner. Now, with those no kickoff rules, returner is extremely important. The guys that Matthew Stafford will be targeting, not a lot of changes in the receiving rooms here with tight ends and wide receivers. Of course, you have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua being the main guys here in this room, and likely to be kind of what the offense is kind of run on, is Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Rams also have a bunch of guys who just seem to fit their roles really well. They may not be those superstar guys going to Pro Bowls and stuff like that, but they are just really, really good at what they do on this Rams offense. That would include Davis Allen, DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell. The Rams also add a guy like Colby Parkinson, who does figure to be a really good scheme fit for the Los Angeles Rams, which is good news. Tyler Higbee is still around and probably the best tight end this team has ever seen. But with that torn ACL coming in the playoff game last year, I do assume that he will have a higher impact on the offense as the season goes on. So later season, I feel like Higbee will kind of start creeping up a little bit more. Along the offensive line, there is a clear-cut leader in this group, and that is Rob Havenstein. He is the last remaining player on the roster who also played in the city of St. Louis. Aaron Donald was the second to last to leave that grouping, but Rob Havenstein now, I believe 33, if I'm not mistaken. So still got some good years in Rob Havenstein in the clear-cut leader of the offensive line group, and definitely a captain-worthy person on the offensive side of the football. From left to right on the offensive line, we kind of have a really good feel right now of what this grouping will look like, as well as the entire offense. We kind of understand what the starting lineup will look like in this, like already, and it's only June. So from left to right, we have AJ Jackson returning at left tackle, Jonah Jackson, brand new, coming from the Detroit Lions. Steve Avila moving over from left guard to center now. Left-handed center, I've seen a lot of people comment on this and that could be, you know, an issue for Matthew Stafford. But let's not forget that last year the Rams did have Coleman Shelton at center, who is also a lefty, so not a big change there. Devin Dotson returning at right guard, and Rob Havenstein locking it down at right tackle like he has for years. I'm a big fan of this line, and I also really like our depth in this spot. Guys like Joe Noteboom, who can play in multiple areas. So I'm feeling good about this offensive line going into the season. We have seen very firsthand what a rough offensive line can do to your season and what can do to the injuries in other positions as well, not just along your offensive line, of course. Flipping to the other side of the football here on defense, clear cut change here is Aaron Donald, and not mentioning that Aaron Donald's departure impacts the Rams defense is negligence at this point, really, because obviously first ballot Hall of Famer, we got to watch his entire career, which is unbelievable and something that we'll be able to talk about for the rest of time. Really, like, we're always going to tell people that we watched Aaron Donald play football, which is really cool. So not impossible to acknowledge that, but this defense is also loaded with playmakers and a little bit of a different look going into the 2024 season as opposed to last year. Of course, Raheem Morris getting hired by the Atlanta Falcons, so he's going to be their head coach, and now Chris Shula holding it down at DC for the Rams. And up front, Rams have Kobe Turner, who he was, you know, a rookie of the year candidate and probably a snub. But we know what Kobe Turner can do for this team, and being a little bit of a later pick, he does kind of feel like our Puka Nacua of the defense, a guy that was a little bit later. We didn't really know what their impact was going to be, plays the same position as an absolute superstar, and then they just came in and played extremely well. Bobby Brown also took a big leap last season. I've been rewatching the 2023 season, and Bobby Brown does tend to jump out. He's close, but not getting there last year. So hopefully this another offseason, he does look like he's getting, you know, he's doing some work in the gym and stuff like that. So hopefully those near misses are getting into just completed plays from Bobby Brown. Would absolutely love to see that, of course. Braden Fisk also joining the defensive line group up front. He is in position to have a meaningful impact with the departure of Aaron Donald. So we'll see what he brings from Florida State over to Los Angeles. A linebacker, the leader of this group, clear cut, Ernest Jones. He was the Green Dot last year captain and does figure to be the captain going forward and probably, hopefully, for an extended time. We also got that word that Aaron Donald, once he kind of had a chance to speak with Ernest Jones, told Ernest Jones, Aaron Donald to Ernest Jones said, "This is your defense now." So we'll see what that translates to. What does Ernest Jones, how does he handle this new pressure of a guy like Aaron Donald coming to you and be like, "Hey, it's you now." You know, that's got to be a scary thing. But if anybody on this defense can handle it, I do think it's Ernest Jones. That guy's an absolute monster. Rose Boom makes his return to add some strong depth to the linebacker group. Byron Young, who kind of kept getting better and better every single week last year as a rookie, he comes into camp looking a little bit bigger. So I'm not opposed to that if Byron Young can have a bit of a pop as well. And Jared Verse joining the group, the Rams' newest first round pick since the last time they picked a Jared in the first round, who's been playing football for another team for a few years. So cool to see another first round pick come into the Rams roster. It being another Jared is just a little bit of an added cool part there. And Verse being the last name, when the Rams offseason has been very like music heavy as far as their graphics go on socials and stuff. So it seems like it's all just coming together. It's kind of a perfect little addition. Jared Verse coming in first round to kind of what seems like solve a problem that the Rams have had since Von Miller chose the Buffalo Bills over the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams have had a hard time with that edge rusher position. So hopefully Jared Verse can kind of come in and be able to handle that. The secondary is really where the Rams took some swings. Very different look in the secondary. Jordan Fuller, now a Carolina Panther, leaving the door open for guys like Quentin Lake, Russ Yeast to kind of really shine. This is their time now. Quentin Lake was looking really good last season as well. And not only are those two in position to, you know, have to be depth or to be contributors on this team, but Cam Curl coming over from Washington as well feels like the perfect move for this defense and maybe the player that I'm most excited for as far as like a new addition to this team. I think that Cam Curl is in a great spot to make a big impact for this defense. So I'm really excited about that. Also, Cam Kitchens coming over via the draft. We could see a Cam combo at the safety spot. The Bam Bam twins, Bam squared, Cam squared. What are we going here, man? First, we got to see it happen. We got to make sure that we know who the starters are going to be out there. But I feel like if we have two Cams back there rocking the safety spot, that's a good thing. And we had a chance to get some really sweet nicknames out of that. At the cornerback position, of course, Tre'Davious White officially coming over from the Buffalo Bills. Darius Williams making his return, wearing what seems to be like his ninth different uniform number, whatever it happens to be now. I feel like it keeps on changing. So D Will making his return and joining the likes of guys like Kobe Durant and Darian Kendrick, who have definitely a good number of reps right now. We'll see how the development of Trey Tomlinson is looking. Hopefully we'll get a good peek at him in the preseason. So that's a good thing, right? Let's see if the secondary, young secondary, but some veterans coming over via free agency. I think that we're in a good spot secondary wise and hopefully better than last year. Aubrey Pleasant coaching those guys up as well, who did get promoted to assistant head coach. Very well deserved. And we got to lock that guy into some good titles. Assistant head coach is a good one because he's just going to get taken from us if we just let him be the secondary coach. You know, that dude's definitely good enough, talented enough, smart enough, awesome enough to be a head coach in this league. It's just when the rest of the league realizes that, we got to take advantage of him while we've got him, because that guy is a great coach. I love Aubrey Pleasant. On special teams, we do have Chase Blackburn returning for his second year coaching this grouping up. And Rams absolutely nailed it last year with their punter pick and Ethan Evans. That guy hates footballs. He's going to launch him into orbit one day. I don't know what the rules are on that. Where do you spot the ball if it's just like hitting the ISS? No clue. But Ethan Evans returning, of course, absolutely awesome. The Rams did make another draft pick for kicker after we did get word, the rumors, I suppose, that somebody like a Tanner Brown might be returning. So cool to see Joshua Cardi make his way onto the Rams roster. Also, the ability to get some sweet nicknames for Joshua Cardi is it's next level. My personal favorite so far is when it's time to Cardi, we will Cardi hard. It's a little wordy for like a nickname, but like Cardi on Wayne, good quotes there. I guess nickname probably isn't even what I have for him right now. Just things to say when he makes kicks is what I currently have for Joshua Cardi. But he's got all the makings to do it. We saw the video of him nailing a super long kick in college. Pretty low pressure because that kick, he made the kick and it was awesome. His team still lost the game. So, I mean, that's cool. It's a great kick. Nothing to take away from that, but a little bit less pressure on that. So I'm really interested to see him in like a real pressure situation with a kick that is that crazy. But like I said, Chase Blackburn making his return. Feel like he was kind of put behind the eight ball last year. And I was a little bit harsh on Chase Blackburn last year. But again, I think he was put a little bit behind the eight ball and not totally in the perfect spot to succeed. So we don't really know who our returner is going to be this year. Guys like Boston Scott, Tutu Atwell figured to be in the mix, but we'll see, of course, how that gets nailed down. If I had to put money on it right now, I'd say Boston Scott, but my personal preference would be a Tutu Atwell in that kick returner position. So we'll see how that all unfolds. Let's go ahead and dive into the Los Angeles Rams 2024 NFL schedule.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The Los Angeles Rams open up on the road at the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. This game kicks off at 5:20 p.m. That is L.A. time. The history of this matchup, the Rams do lead the all-time series 45-42-1, making this the 89th meeting all-time. The most recent, the 88th meeting, of course, being the playoff game last year. That was a 24-23 win for the Detroit Lions, who did eventually lose in the playoffs. But it did feel kind of weird. It did feel like the Rams were the better team against the Lions. It felt like the Packers were the better team against the Lions. Oddly enough, felt like the Lions were the better team against the Niners. So maybe what the hell do I know, you know? So it's a little bit of an interesting path for the Lions in the playoffs last year. We'll kind of see how they take that pressure and go into another season. And we get to see it firsthand week one, which is really cool. Before that last loss, though, last playoff time, just a few months back, the Rams had won the previous two. The Rams are 2-5 at Ford Field all time since it opened in 2002. First ever game between these two teams came September 10th of 1937. That was a Lions win 28-0. And this was the Rams' first ever game. So your first ever time stepping on a football field for it to be a 28-0 loss is extremely unfortunate, but the Rams won the next game, so that's at least a good thing. But that first ever game for this Los Angeles Rams team did come against the Detroit Lions. Really, the story in this game that we're looking at, it is opening week in primetime against the team that we probably should have beat in the playoffs last year. So all of the makings are there for kind of a storybook matchup in this one. And kind of a bit of a revenge game. Is Jared Goff going to come off his massive contract extension and come in on fire? Is that going to kind of take a little bit of his fire away? Is Matthew Stafford going to go in there with the loss kind of lingering from the playoffs and just put up like 60 on Detroit? There's a lot of different moving pieces in this, but I'm sure I'm probably biased, but the Lions winning that game just kind of really felt like the football gods were kind of just giving them a nod. And I don't want that to sound like I'm bitter. I'm not mad at the Lions. I'm not mad at the Lions fans. I know that a lot of media, Rams media people are, but I've got no hatred, man. I got no space in my room, in my heart for hate. I'm out of room. All right. There's too much love in there. All right. So the Detroit Lions, though, winning that game, it really did feel like the football gods were just kind of like, they get this one, guys. Because I guess Matthew Stafford not viewed as highly in the football god's eyes as the Detroit Lions, which is, I guess, unfortunate. But Matthew Stafford, he played incredible in that game last year in Detroit. And no reason to think that he doesn't start the season hot. There's really no reason to think that he's healthy right now. We're going into the season feeling pretty good. Of course, it's June. We still got camp to go through. OTAs are going on right now. So we preseason and all that stuff. So there is space to happen and things to happen between now and kickoff. But right now, it feels like everything is sitting pretty good for the Los Angeles Rams. Not a lot of, negative stories coming out from the Rams, which can make for a boring off season when you're trying to do a podcast and stuff like that. But it actually is way better that way. You want a boring off season. You don't want to be talking about players getting arrested and stuff like that. So that is definitely more fun. Lions, they took on two first round picks to take on Jared Goff's contract and now have given him a massive contract extension. So they decided not only was he worth the money, but also worth a raise. Jared Goff, this will be Goff's first game after signing that 4-year extension that pays him more than $50 million a year versus the team that gave him a contract and then shipped him off along with two first round picks. Goff needs absolutely no added motivation to want to perform well against a team who basically gave up on and abandoned him. However you feel about the Jared Goff situation, that's kind of how I summarize it, is the Rams kind of believed in him enough to give him a payday. And then he had just a season where it's kind of like, it's not going to work. Actually, we feel like we can get better at this spot. So the Rams shipped him off. Sean McVay versus Dan Campbell. Fun storyline for this game just because of their differences. Both are seasoned coaches who know exactly what they're doing, but they are about polar opposites. I'm not sure how much more opposite we can get as head coaches with Sean McVay and Dan Campbell going head to head. Amon-Ra St. Brown got a big contract extension well and is now extremely well paid. And does this give us a hint at what the Rams could be on the hook for when it comes time to sign guys like future Hall of Famer Puka Nacua? So we'll see how that all unfolds. That is week one for the Los Angeles Rams. Moving into week two for the Rams, still on the road at the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get this one knocked out early season, which I don't hate at all. State Farm Stadium, 1:05 p.m. kickoff time. That is L.A. time, of course. The Rams lead the all-time series 50-40-2, making this the 93rd overall meeting between these two teams. Most recent coming on November 26 of last year. That was a 37-14 win for the Rams. The Rams have had the Cardinals' number since Sean McVay has arrived to be the Rams head coach and has only actually lost to the Cardinals two times. That was October of 2021 and November of 2022. The first ever game between these two teams came on October 3rd of 1937. The Chicago Cardinals defeated the Cleveland Rams 6-0. This was the Rams' fourth ever game. And diving into this game, so the Los Angeles Rams have, in a sense, owned the Arizona Cardinals. I don't really love that term, but since Sean McVay has arrived, the Rams have had a very good record over the Arizona Cardinals. Not only are the Cards' wins over McVay rare, but it's even more rare to see a one-possession game. The Cardinals have lost a number of pieces in their team, in their roster, in their depth chart this offseason, but have, they have decided to continue with Kyler Murray, and they did add a weapon for him in Marvin Harrison Jr. So he has officially signed his contract. There's a bunch of weird stuff going on with him in the NFLPA, but Harrison looks like he's going to be a contributor in this league for a long time. It is unfortunate that he goes to a rival. He was one of my favorite players coming out of this year's draft. Coaching staff has many names you may not have heard of, with Drew Petzing handling the offensive coordinator duties and Nick Rallis controlling the defense. Cardinals look like they are going to be headed in the right direction eventually, but first you got to stop the downfall, which it does feel like they're still currently on. So it does like how much more at the bottom can you get? But it does feel like that the trajectory is still negative for the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see when they are able to kind of shake it up a little bit more. The Cardinals don't appear to have the roster and staff to hold up against this Rams team early in the season. But of course, continuity in Arizona could make things interesting with Gannon returning at head coach and Kyler Murray obviously making his return as well. Week three, the Los Angeles Rams home opener. This is against the San Francisco 49ers at SoFi Stadium, 1:25 p.m. kickoff time. Out of Los Angeles, the history of this matchup, the 49ers lead the all-time series 78-69-3, making this the 151st all-time meeting between the two. The most recent came on January 7th of 2024. That was a 21-20 win for the LA Rams. Carson Wentz was the quarterback for this one. It was backups versus backups, so not really a game to brag on when it comes to talking with 49ers fans or anything. But of course, we can brag about any win. They're all hard to get, whether backups are playing backups or not. So you can take that for what you will as well. First ever game between these two came on October 1st of 1950. That was a 35-14 win for the Rams. The story here, extremely simple. The 49ers have had the number of Sean McVay since he has come over to coach the Rams. The Rams won their biggest matchup between these two, and that was when AD threw our now backup quarterback to the ground while he was trying to flip the ball forward, ultimately being intercepted by Traven Howard, sending the Rams to the Super Bowl, where they would eventually defeat the Cincinnati Bengals, which was pretty sweet. I don't know if you remember, it was a great time. And the 49ers, they did play in the Super Bowl last season, and the overall football landscape does see the 49ers as true contenders again this season. But this early season matchup may not be one of those where it feels like it's got playoff implications or massive playoff implications, but this could very well be a game that we look on at the end of the season with kind of an either like the mindset of like, it's a good thing we won that game way back in week three, or if only we had won that game back in week three. So even though we won't be really talking playoffs in week three and seeding and all that stuff, this does figure to be a game that we'll kind of circle back on and talk about as we get into the playoff race, into, you know, October, November, and the playoff race really starts to take shape. Week four for the Los Angeles Rams on the road again at the Chicago Bears, Soldier Field at 10 o'clock a.m. That is L.A. time. The Bears do lead the all-time series here, 54-39-3, making this the 97th all-time meeting between these two teams. Most recent coming on September 21st of 2021. That was a 34-14 win for the Rams. This was Stafford's first ever game as the Rams quarterback and the first game of the Rams Super Bowl season. Rams have won the last three against the Bears. The Bears' last win coming in the Rams' previous Super Bowl season, prior to that 2021 game, where the Bears won 15-6. That was a December game, and before the Super Bowl happened, that the least amount of points that a McVay offense had scored. The first ever game between these two came on October 10th of 1937. That was a 20-2 win by the Bears. This was the Rams' fifth ever game that they had played. The second ever matchup was just the last game of the season of that first Rams season. The Bears won that one 7-15, and the Rams ended their first ever season with a 1-10 record. Two losses to the Bears in that first year. This could be the final game ever that the Rams play at Soldier Field, which did open in October of 1924. The Bears stadium plan is to begin construction in the summer of 2025 and open 36 months after that. The Rams would play in Chicago again in their current rotation in 2030. So barring any same place finisher slots in 2028 or 2029, this will be the last time that the Rams play at Soldier Field. In week five, the Los Angeles Rams will host the Green Bay Packers at SoFi Stadium, 1:25 p.m. LA time kickoff. I will be at this game, already locked in, so if you're going to be there as well, we'll high five, we'll drink beers, definitely hit me up, and we'll have a good time. But SoFi Stadium, where the action's going down for this early season matchup. The Packers do lead the all-time series against the Rams 50-47-2, and if you are doing that math, that does make this the 100th all-time meeting between the Rams and the Packers. The most recent meeting between these two, November 5th of 2023. And that was a 22-3 win by the Green Bay Packers. That was the Brett Rippon game where I think he had like 87 passing yards or something like that. It was just absolutely terrible. He got cut after that. He played so poorly in that game, he did get cut. Packers have won the last four against the Rams and 9 of the last 10. And the Rams' lone win since 2007, coming October 28th of 2028. That was a 29-27 win by the Rams at the Coliseum. That was when Ty Montgomery took that kick out of the end zone and then fumbled it, which was absolutely awesome. I think it was Ramiq Wilson forcing the fumble, if I'm not mistaken. But that was very exciting stuff, and especially because all the Packers needed was a field goal, and he took it out of the end zone, and it was like, oh, man, that's awesome. So fun stuff there. First ever game between these two came on October 17th of 1937. That was a 35-10 win by the Green Bay Packers. This was the Rams' sixth ever game. Second game came the following week, October 24th in 1937. This was in Green Bay, a 35-7 win by the Packers. And this happened at City Stadium. And this is actually where I got to see this venue with my buddy, who's a Packers fan. That's who I'm going out to SoFi with this year. And this was the Rams' seventh ever game. And we got to see this venue, which was absolutely unbelievable. I remember kind of bringing it up while we were there. It was like, dude, the Cleveland Rams have played here. That's so crazy. Like, just really cool stuff. I get like kind of nostalgic about that stuff. I absolutely love that kind of thing. So really cool. But that was the Rams' seventh ever game just the following week. So 1937, the Rams were playing on that field that I got to check out, which is just really cool stuff. Story between these of this game is the Rams and Packers are both coming off years that they did better than most people expected them to do. A lot of people kind of threw the Rams and the Packers out pretty early in the season. And then obviously both teams becoming playoff teams. Last year's matchup can't really be viewed as a reasonable barometer on where this matchup stands, considering it was Brett Rippon at quarterback, and he had an extremely rough game. Jordan Love really started settling into his own last year and made his way into the upper half of NFL quarterbacks, for sure. It doesn't appear yet that he has reached his ceiling, but we also don't know how high that ceiling is. Is he just about at it, or is he like halfway? We have no idea. So this year should give us a good barometer here on how good Jordan Love can be. And hopefully by week five, we get a little bit of a peek of that in seeing exactly how well his progression is going or not going. I just want to know, I think, is ultimately where my thing goes. But if he gets a major payday before the season starts, we will really get a grasp of who this guy is. There is the conversations right now that the Green Bay Packers could be extending Jordan Love before the season begins. So this, by time week five comes around, we'll know if he's kind of honing it in because he's already gotten paid, or if he's now extra motivated because he's gotten paid. So that'll be a good time to kind of check out where Jordan Love is standing in his future in the NFL. Rams defense should start beginning to gel at this point, considering the major changes in the secondary and adjusting to post-AD life. This could be where we see Shula at DC start taking a few more chances as he does begin to learn the capabilities of his own roster. It is hard to ask for much more out of this matchup early season. You get two teams who are realistically going to be able to meet in the postseason. Getting this game in week five is something that we could be referring back to. And another game, like I'd mentioned with the San Francisco 49ers, that we could be looking back on a week five game saying like, oh, that's why we're a 7 seed or an 8 seed. That's why the winning that game is what it like if the Packers were the 8 and we were the 7 kind of thing. So we barely, if we didn't win that, we wouldn't be in the playoffs kind of situation. So we could be in a really interesting position later in the season based off of this game. And again, 100th all-time meeting between the Rams and the Packers. And I just think that is really, really cool. This game does lead the Rams into their bye week in week 6 before staying home and taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. SoFi Stadium, 1:05 p.m. kickoff time for this game. The Raiders do lead the all-time series 8-7. This is the 16th all-time meeting between these two. Most recent coming December 8th of 2022. That was a 17-16 win by the Rams, and that was that wild Baker Mayfield game where he hit Van Jefferson at the end there on what was it like a I think it was like a 90 was it 98 yard drive that was. I mean, it was crazy. It was absolutely awesome. It was prime time. It was Thursday Night Football. So cool, man. That was really awesome to see. That was also the first and only game so far between the Rams against Las Vegas. So this will be the second meeting and the first time hosting Las Vegas. But the Rams have yet to play a game in Vegas that is coming in 2026. First ever game between these two came on October 29th of 1972. That was a 45-17 win for the Raiders. And L.A. versus L.A., that actually only happened 5 times between the Raiders and the Rams. The Raiders did win 4 of those. 1994, it's L.A. versus L.A. 1997, the very next time these teams matched up, it was Oakland versus St. Louis, which was that's a drastic change, huh? And the Raiders' last win coming in 2010. Since then, the Rams have won 3 straight and have outscored the Raiders 102-29 in their last 3 games. That does include, though, the 52-0 game that was played in St. Louis in 2014. Story of this game, Rams and Raiders, definitely bit of a rivalry, especially throughout the fan bases. On field, obviously, this only being their 16th all-time meeting, not a big rivalry there, but the LA versus LA, even though it only lasted for 5 matchups, definitely causing quite the tension within fan bases. So these teams, like I said, only played 15 times in 52 years, and proximity as and fandom within a city, that'll get you riled up for sure. Raiders are in a tough position. Tough division with Antonio Pierce, who I do like, but he does have his work cut out for him for sure. The Raiders will eventually need to get their guy at quarterback, but this year will at least be entertaining with guys like Gardner Minshew and seeing what they do. Their entertainment value off the charts. Their ability to compete and win football games, I put them pretty middle of the road. I put them a little bit below 500 this year. We'll kind of see, obviously, how that unfolds. But I think their entertainment level and football skill level aren't equal. They don't match up. Entertaining for sure this year, though. Definitely some star players that can make some crazy things happen and probably win some games. This feels like a team that'll win some games they probably shouldn't and lose some games they probably shouldn't and just kind of go back and forth that way. Let's go to week 8 here. The Minnesota Vikings heading to the Los Angeles Rams. This is a primetime game, SoFi Stadium on Thursday Night Football, 5:15 p.m. kickoff time for this matchup. The Vikings do lead the all-time series 27-18-2. This is the 48th all-time meeting between these two teams, most recent coming on December 26th of 2021. That was a 30-23 win by the Rams. The second most recent game between these two, September 27th, 2018, 38-31 win by the Rams. That was also on Thursday Night Football. Goff went absolutely off on this game. And then Cooper Kupp also, buck wild in this one. That was absolutely awesome. Before that, though, the Vikings had won 5 straight between 2009 and 2017. And the first ever game between these two coming November 5th of 1961, a 31-17 win by the Rams. Story in this game does feel like it's a coach versus coach is the main storyline. KOC, Kevin O'Connell, former Rams coaching staff member, now taking on his former boss in Sean McVay. J-Day to J-J by this time should be kind of rolling in the season, unless there's some, you see these rumors popping up that maybe Justin Jefferson comes over to the Rams, which at that point, just start sizing your rings, all right, because start clearing some space for new trophies, because, oh my gosh, all right, that's not even fair to anybody. JJ to JJ, if that does not happen, of course, should be rolling by this time. We'll be in week 8, so they should have their continuity kind of building up, which is, good for them, of course. But we should get a feel for how strong that connection is. Thursday Night Football does mean a stripped down playbook and game plan. However, Thursday Night Football is for the stars. It's why we don't see Kirk Cousins playing in Minnesota anymore. This could be one of those shootout McVay games where the Rams win like 47-42. Unless the Shula defense is just absolutely locked down on a rookie quarterback, then we could see like a 47-12. You know, who knows? Who knows? I'm just saying. This is another game to think about when it comes to the playoff race, as the Rams and Vikings could be both be fighting for positioning as we get late season, and also could be considered for a strength of schedule kind of situation, a strength of victory as we start to dive into a later portion of the season, as of course we'll be dealing with the Green Bay Packers at this point, probably the Detroit Lions as well, and strength of victory. Obviously those teams will be playing the Minnesota Vikings, so that all is going to come into play. In week 9, the Los Angeles Rams hit the road to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Lumen Field, 1:25 p.m. kickoff time out of Seattle, which is just Eastern time as well. So L.A. time. Seahawks do lead the all-time series here, 27-26, making this a 54th all-time meeting. The Rams couldn't tie up the all-time series with a big old dub. The most recent game between these two coming November 19th of 2023, 17-16 win by the Rams. The last 4 games between these two teams, it is 2-2. Each team has won twice, but Bobby Wagner specifically 0-4. What gives, dude? Probably nothing. I absolutely love Bobby Wagner. That guy's incredible. No hatred towards Bobby whatsoever. The first game between these two came on Halloween of 1976. That was a 45-6 win by the Rams, and the Rams did win the first 4 between the Rams and Seahawks. First time that the Rams will play the Seahawks without Pete Carroll since November 29th of 2009. Rams finished their time against Pete Carroll as the Seahawks head coach with a 16-13 record over Pete and the Seahawks. Mike McDonald now taking over, so let's see what he's got. Having Leslie Frazier as an assistant head coach certainly helps, considering the youth that is on that coaching staff. Division games always have a little bit extra to them. And at this point of the season, both teams could be fighting for a top spot or setting their eyes on wiggling into a wild card spot. Or we could even be looking at where these teams picking in the NFL draft. But by the time we get to week 9, that picture will start to clear up a little bit. So we will have a better idea of where we're all sitting. Seahawks will be very dependent on their quarterback, and with a little step back last season, there's a lot of pressure on Geno this year if he wants to stick around. If Geno has a rough start or a lower output than he did last year, the new coaching staff could very well take this next offseason as an opportunity to go get their guy. And we know that when that typically happens, when a new coach comes in, but that's not the quarterback that he has brought in himself, that is absolutely a possibility that if a team is struggling, you can get away with getting rid of a quarterback, i.e. the LA Rams, when you have your coach saying, like, you let me pick a guy and we'll do better. So McDonald would definitely have some ground to stand on there if Geno Smith is having a hard time. Week 10, the Los Angeles Rams back at home, SoFi Stadium, on Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins. This is a 5:15 p.m. kickoff time local. So if you are going to this game, make sure you are there. Make sure you are loud. This is going to be a fun one for sure. The Dolphins do lead the all-time series in this matchup, 12-2. This is the 15th all-time meeting between these two teams. Dolphins have won the last five against the Rams, and the Rams wins coming October of 1776 and September of 2001. That is it. Those are the only two times the Rams have defeated the Miami Dolphins, who are the team that the Rams have defeated the fewest number of times as far as active NFL teams go. Two against the Miami Dolphins, three against the Baltimore Ravens, four against the Houston Texans, and five against Buffalo, Jacksonville, and KC. What those teams all have in common is they are all AFC teams. Don't get a lot of opportunities to play them. As far as NFC teams go, the Rams' fewest wins over an NFC team is the Carolina Panthers with 10. Carolina Panthers, though, still a bit of a newer team. Have had some interesting matchups with them, but definitely still on that newer side. October 14th, 2012. Wanted to mention this game because it was awesome. I remember watching this one at the bar that I've been going to for years. So there's a lot of Dolphins fans that go there. And this game, it was a loss from the Rams, 14-17. But there was a Greg Zuerlein field goal attempt as time expired in this game. He missed a 66-yarder just barely to the left that would have sent it to overtime. And would have been like absolutely off the swag charts for sure, because at sea level to hit a kick that long, we know what they do in Denver. All right. It's not fair up here. All right. I live in Colorado as well. It's not fair to be kicking footballs and setting records out in this air. It's not the same air. So to do that at sea level, that would have been something that we would have talked about forever. Truly a what could have been unforgettable moment like in Rams history. If that kick goes in, but you gotta think too that when the kick is 66 yards away, the exit angle of that is so minuscule. For him to miss it as close as he did, wildly impressive. I'll take it. Story between this these two teams. The two of the most charismatic players that the Rams have ever seen are making their return. OBJ and Jalen Ramsey making their return to play the Rams. It's all love on this side for sure. I hope we smoke them. I hope that OBJ gets, you know, completely blocked up by you know, Tre'Davious White or D-Will all game long. I hope Puka Nacua is breaking Jalen's ankles all day long. But I've got no hate on either of these guys. I'm a big fan of both, actually. The Mike McDaniels Dolphins are a sneaky team that seems to just not overthink things. And the Dolphins, they go into a game with a clear game plan. Take advantage of your weaknesses and use their strengths. It seems simple, but most teams, it does feel like outsmart themselves. They overthink it a little bit. And the Rams being one of those teams that I do think have done that in the past. Outthink themselves, outcoach themselves by kind of just diving too deep into that rabbit hole. Whereas the Dolphins are very much like, hey, they're not that good at that. Let's just attack that all day. Or, hey, we're awesome at this. Let's just do that the whole time. That's how you get, you know, 70 points in a game against the Broncos last year. But more of a McVay game, I would say this does feel more like a Shula game. A good game plan from Shula to limit that explosive offense for the Dolphins and the weapons that they have. The Rams could then rely more on the run game to kind of close this game out instead of trying to attack the Dolphins through the air, which is very difficult. This is a game that has all the potential in the world to rival another Monday Night Football game the Rams played in Los Angeles against an AFC powerhouse. Looking at you, Chiefs, what a game that was. And this does have all the atmosphere to be able to do something like that again for us. Week 11, the Rams on the road at the New England Patriots, Gillette Stadium at 10 o'clock a.m. Patriots do lead the all-time series here, 9-6. This is the 16th meeting between these two teams. Most recent coming December 2010, that was in 2020, a 24-3 win by the Rams. Before that, the Patriots had won the last six, a stretch that lasted between two February 3rd dates, February 3rd of 2000 and February 3rd of 2019. two Super Bowl losses for the Rams against the Patriots, the official start and end of what was really the reign of terror of Tom Brady for the New England Patriots. First ever game between these two came September 29th of 1974, 14-20 win by the Pats. Story in this game is fairly simple, I think. The post-Bill Belichick era for the New England Patriots. It's huge. Gerard Mayo and Drake May stepping in now. That is right. The May and Mayo era. Not a lot of sweet nicknames for that. Glad we don't have to try to think of them, though. So not my problem, all right? It's hard to know for sure who or what caused the curse for the Rams against Tom Brady. But it does feel like the he's got cup again play. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't even have to give you further details. The he's got cup again play was the moment that it feels like that was shattered. But those two Super Bowls on the very same February 3rd date, the first and the last of Brady's rings as a Patriot, had to happen against the Rams, right? Just had to. Just like, what did we do? But we don't have really any idea at this moment, but we will have a solid idea by the time this game is played in week 11 of how good or bad the Patriots are going to be this year. I'm not sure if the expectations are high or if they're low. I don't really know what Patriots fans or the media is really feeling about the Patriots. I don't really get the vibe that anybody is really high or really low on the Patriots. Feels like everybody's pretty middle of the road. We got to figure out how good is Drake May going to be? How good is Gerard Mayo going to be as a head coach? Is the post Bill Belichick era, is it going to need time to kind of refresh itself a little bit, or are they going to hit the ground running and just kind of take off? We'll see what happens. But what I will say for this matchup, especially coming in week 11, I know that they'll kind of have their footing by this time, but I do like the veteran, the experience aspect of a McVay and Stafford combo over a inexperienced and young grouping of Drake May and Gerard Mayo. I do like that from the Rams fan perspective. In week 12, the Rams coming back to Los Angeles to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, SoFi Stadium at 5:20 p.m. kickoff time. This is a Sunday night football matchup. History of this series, we have the Eagles leading all time 23-20-1. This is the 45th all-time meeting between these two teams. Most recent coming October 8th of 2023, that was a 23-14 win by the Eagles. The Rams did defeat Philly in 2020. That was Tyler Higbee's 3-touchdown game. That one was absolutely awesome. But the Eagles have won 7 of the last 8. First ever game between these two came on September 21st of 1937. This is the Rams' second ever game and first ever win. Only win in their opening season came in their second game against the Philadelphia Eagles. You love to see it. It was 21-3 game played in Philly. The Rams did win the first 4 against the Eagles, and Eagles did defeat the Rams in the NFL championship game in 1949. That was a 14-0. But the Rams defeated the Eagles in the NFC championship game in January of 2002. 29-24, ultimately leading to the Rams losing to the Patriots in the following game. The story of this game, the last season, this entire battle felt like it came down to Aaron Donald versus Jason Kelce. And we will not be seeing that anymore. Both of those legends calling it a career. It's time to see what the rest of these rosters can do. It does feel real that the brotherly shove, or whatever lame name you want to give it, because there is not any cool ones that exist, is going to take a bit of a hit now that Kelce, which is how you actually pronounce his name, but for masses, I'm just going to call him Kelce still, but I just need it noted that I do know that his name is Kelce. All right. But Kelce, now that he is gone, but week 12, we'll know if the Eagles are still able to utilize that play or not. The Eagles didn't feel as powerful last season as the year before, but it is hard to pinpoint why. This season could tell us a lot about Nick Sirianni, and I've had my doubts about him, but then when he went to a Super Bowl, it looked like maybe I was wrong. Maybe I just didn't know what I was talking about. But last year, I think that he was outclassed very often, and I think that Because I don't want to like sit here and trash Nick Sirianni. I've got no reason to do that. He's actually a really cool dude, but I think that he was a little bit exposed last year, and does feel like that Super Bowl was he was a little bit carried by his incredible roster. Because let's not pretend like that Eagles team wasn't absolutely loaded in that one. So we'll kind of see what happens this year, and if the Eagles are going to be trying to keep him around long term, or what their plans are going to be. The Eagles do feel like a team that McVay has had a hard time against, with a 1-3 record against Philly since he has arrived. But at this point of the season, both teams figure to be in the playoff conversations, so the outcome could be a major factor as the weeks go on, especially with this game coming in week 12. Week 13, the Rams are on the road at the New Orleans Saints, hopefully not their last game, being played at the Caesars Superdome this season, with the Super Bowl being played there as well. 1:05 p.m. kickoff time. The Rams do lead the all-time series 44-35, making this the 80th time these two teams have ever met. Most recent coming December 21st of 2023. That was a 30-22 win by the Rams. First ever between these two, September 17th of 1967. That was a 27-13 win by the Rams. So many wild moments against the Saints. Obviously, the NFC Championship game that was absolutely insane. Sent the Rams to the Super Bowl. I just watched that one the other day. Again, it was awesome. NFL Plus is so sick. I'll think of a game and be like, I'm just going to watch it. I love doing that. Flipper Anderson, 336 receiving yards against the Saints in 1989. Robert Bailey, longest punt in punt return in NFL history in 1994. So lots of awesome stuff when the Rams and Saints meet up. Chaos happens, and it's absolutely awesome. Story in this game, the Saints feel like one of those teams this year that will kind of sit in the background. They'll win some games, they'll lose some games, but they don't feel really exciting this season. There's no storylines going on in New Orleans this year that feel like we need to be following that. They just kind of feel like a team that exists this year, which is fine. You're going to have those years. You know, we have Derek Carr at quarterback, just not a lot of exciting things going on in New Orleans. So it does feel like they're just kind of a background team. But background teams can still ruin your day, for sure. History of these two teams is really where the fun is in this matchup. The Saints and Rams fans have been longtime rivals over the 79 previous meetings between these two teams. And you throw in some events like the NFC Championship game, and tensions are going to get pretty high. That's just the way it goes, all right? But no matter how each team will be eyeing down the rest of the season, the Saints fans will need no extra motivation to want this win, and will surely be rocking that dome. It'll probably be loud. It'll probably be hostile. It'll probably be one of the most intense atmospheres that the Rams experience this season, if I had to guess. In week 14, another game that I will be at, the Buffalo Bills at the Los Angeles Rams, SoFi Stadium, 1:25 p.m. kickoff time for this one. So again, if you're going to be out there, definitely hit me up. Sounds like me and my buddy Aaron are going. It's going to be an awesome time. Hit us up. It's just going to be fun. Bills fans are maybe my favorite fan base. No hatred towards the Rams, though. You guys, it's close, all right? But Bills fans, I think, are absolutely awesome. I want to have beers with them for sure. Bills do lead the all-time series 9-5. Bills have won the last three against the Rams, with the Rams' last win coming in 2012 when Austin Pettis caught that ball that was thrown behind him on fourth down by Sam Bradford, which was so sick, and then ended up scoring the touchdown as well. The Rams haven't defeated the Bills since returning to Los Angeles. The first ever game between these two came September 27th, 1970, a 19-0 win by the Rams. And the Bills have won 8 of the last 10, dating back to 1989 against the Rams. So a bit of a lopsided series here. Story in this game, we must be fiscally responsible to avoid a Rams-like collapse. Do you know who said that? Bills GM Brandon Bean. We must be fiscally responsible to avoid a Rams-like collapse. Well, guess what, Brandon? You're collapsing and didn't even get a ring out of it. The Bills carry the most dead cap in the NFL this season. The Rams the least. We got some hardware, though, to make it a little bit more worth it. Not just some playoff disappointments. So, all right, Brandon. Yeah, you avoided the Rams-like collapse. Yours was actually way worse. So, nailed it, dude. Way to go. It's awesome. The Bills do enter the 2024 season with the most dead cap in the NFL. Like I had mentioned, the Rams with the least, making Brandon Bean sound not only like the biggest dumbass in the NFL, but just rude and kind of just, you know, unnecessary. So Rams fans, hey, we know what to do in this one. We get loud at this one. All right. This one's going to be a fun matchup for sure. While according to FanDuel, the Bills are sitting at Super Bowl odds plus 1,300, the Rams just 3,200. The Bills don't feel like a team that is a legitimate threat this year. It doesn't feel like they are able to go all the way this season, at least. They've experienced some turmoil, obviously, the most dead cap in the season, all that stuff. The Bills window squeaking closed, and it might be further shut than they or Vegas is willing to admit at this time. The Rams collapse was one injury riddled season where the team needed to just eat a bunch of dead cap space anyway in one quick hit. That's what they chose to do rather than spread that out over a few years, and immediately got back to the postseason the following year and now have the least amount of dead cap in the league with a roster that is ready to compete and is still very young, with some really strong veterans peppered throughout. The Bills did avoid a Rams-like collapse. They absolutely did. Theirs is much worse, and it's going to come without a trophy. So, way to go, Brandon. Way to go. Trey White against his old team as well is a nice feather in this one also. So, probably going to get some cool stuff for that week. Probably get a Trey White mic'd up, kind of stuff like that. And maybe like a... what is the series that the JB Long does? What I'm trying to, I can't remember the in-season thing that he does where he sits down with people. I watch it every time. Either way, that'll probably get a Trey White one in there as well. So that'll be really cool stuff. In week 15, the Rams on the road again, San Francisco 49ers. This is a Levi's Stadium game at 5:15, meaning we're back in prime time in the Field of Jeans. 49ers do lead the all-time series 78-69-3. We did talk about that before, so I won't dive totally into that. This will be the 152nd all-time meeting between these two. Story of this game, last year we got a big lame duck late season game against the 49ers with backups versus backups, which is extremely unfortunate, obviously. This year, with the game being in week 15 instead, that does help as far as like the awesome factor of it. It's unlikely that things will be locked up by this point of the season as far as seeding goes. Even if you've already locked in your playoff spot, you're probably jockeying for position at this point. So at the very least, it does feel like this game will still mean something, which is a very good thing. And maybe it's the Rams fan in me, but the 49ers feel very top heavy. They don't, it feels like their positions are like they've got really strong starters and lack depth. So if the 49ers have injury issues this year, it does feel like they'll have a pretty hard drop off. Whereas the Rams, and again, maybe this is just the Rams fan in me, it does feel like the Rams are not only good at their starting level, but have good depth. Like, look at the wide receiver room, look at the cornerback room, look at the offensive line, look at the quarterback room, running back room, tight end room, all over the place on this Rams roster. It feels like the Rams have a really strong depth. Some of it unproven, in fairness, and may not work out, but it does feel like the depth is there. 49ers, not so much. It does feel like they are very top-heavy team. But McVay versus Shanahan seems to be quite a frustrating matchup, as if you are on the Rams side of that, at least. But something's got to give eventually. It does just kind of seem odd, and it does feel like the Rams overthink themselves when it comes to the 49ers. I would love to see the Rams come into a primetime game with just a good game plan that you kind of just stick to and just let your playmakers make plays. Don't try to outthink yourself on this one, because he's liable to do that, Sean McVay is. Next game here, the Rams on the road at the New York Jets, trying everything in my power to go to this game, but the timing of it is extremely unfortunate with it being so close to Christmas. That does put a wrench in that, but me and Boy Green trying to team up and get together for a game between our two teams. MetLife Stadium at 10 a.m. is where the action goes down. The Rams do lead the all-time series in this one, 10-5. Most recent game between these two coming December 20th of 2020. That was a 20-23 win by the Jets, effectively ruining the Jets' shot at the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence, where they took Zach Wilson instead. So you're welcome, Jets fans. You're welcome for that one. So yeah, you may have won the game, but we won the battle. All right. We ruined your future for that one. And you can say what you want about Trevor Lawrence versus Zach Wilson, but let's not act like Trevor Lawrence being stuck in Jacksonville isn't totally ruining his career. Right. That's kind of like I don't know to put this out now in this episode, but dude, Trevor Lawrence is who I want to replace Matthew Stafford for whatever that's worth. Probably not going to happen, in fairness, but that's if I could just pick anybody to replace Stafford once Stafford is gone, it's T-Law all day for sure. But in this game, the Rams didn't lose to the Jets between 1986 and 2005, by the way. So really strong stretch for the Rams between Los Angeles and moving to St. Louis. Pretty cool stuff. Story in this game, kind of hoping at this point of the season, this is viewed as a potential Super Bowl preview against the only two teams in the NFL who spell their team names with four letters officially. Rodgers versus Stafford has happened so many times for that to go from Green Bay versus Detroit, small little baby market against Detroit Motor City, you know, just a blue collar working class little city, to now be a Los Angeles versus New York matchup. That's extremely exciting and probably something that the NFL is a big fan of, and probably why this game is so late in the NFL season. You've got another polar opposite of Sean McVay and Robert Saleh, former 49ers defensive coordinator. So we do know this guy decently well, but with so many similarities between these two teams, outside of the coaching staff, of course, but both have all the potential in the world. Maybe it's not the widespread belief quite yet, but I'm telling you this in June that the Rams versus Jets Super Bowl is absolutely much more of a real possibility than I think it's getting credit for. I'll just say it that way. Week 17, we don't have a date or time on these last two games officially yet, but the Arizona Cardinals head to the Los Angeles Rams as the Rams will wrap up the season with two home games, playing only one home game in the first four of the season. It is kind of nice to be able to get two home games to wrap up the season. They are division games, so that obviously does put a wrinkle in it, but SoFi Stadium will host the Arizona Cardinals and Rams matchup. This will be the 94th all-time meeting between these two teams. A late season home game against a team that McVay has done well against. This matchup could be perfect timing for the Rams to just get a nice little tasty treat as far as playoff seeding goes. The Arizona Cardinals are not in a position to be competing this year, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, so be it, but I would be extremely surprised by that. On the other hand, this could be the Cardinals' time to play spoiler against the Rams, and a team that the Rams have had a lot of success against. You never know when they're just going to have they're just going to hit fire that one day and be able to ruin your day. The Cardinals likely won't be playing for a playoff spot at this time, but will surely be up for a game against a division team that they are growing to hate more and more with each loss against McVay. That fan base, you can feel it. It is very much, the tensions are rising for the Arizona Cardinals fans when it comes to the Rams. It just is. That's what happens, though, when you start losing so many times against a team. We feel that against the 49ers. We already hate the 49ers. We didn't need extra hate towards the 49ers, right? But then we lose and lose and lose and lose and lose against that team, and your blood boils at it. You know what I mean? So we understand a perspective. It's like the different perspectives of it. It's a circle of life is what it is. According to social media, it is a slow but very true buildup of hatred from the Arizona Cardinals to the Los Angeles Rams. Rams' final game of the season hosting the Seattle Seahawks. This game will happen at SoFi Stadium, date and time to be determined. The history of this game, we talked about it before, the Seahawks lead 27-26. This will be the 55th all-time meeting between these two teams. The story of this game, ending the season with two divisional home games, is just real sweet. Can't complain about that at all. If the Rams are in a fight right at the end, the crowd should be electric and energetic, which does create such a sweet atmosphere at SoFi Stadium. If you haven't felt like a real good experience at SoFi Stadium with that, I've been lucky enough to, in a game that the Rams were kind of blowing them out to, the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it was an incredible atmosphere for that one. But at this point of the season, we hope that this game means something, or that it means nothing. Whatever, I guess, whatever perspective you want to take on that. I hope it means something, but I hope it's more like we're fighting for a one seed than a playoff spot. You know what I mean? So hopefully we'll see some cool stuff that way. But the end of the first full season without Pete Carroll in control, and now we'll have a better idea of who the Seahawks are going to be moving forward. The Rams will have completed their first season without Aaron Donald, dating back to St. Louis, And we will know the identity of this defense now under Shula as Raheem Morris, again, in Atlanta, being their head coach. The Rams, a game to end the season that we hope is loaded with fireworks and the knowledge that it's not the final time that we'll see our boys hit the field until September of 2025. We're hoping that we just play the following week or in 2 weeks from this game. But buckle up, everyone. The 2024 NFL season is here, and it'll be here before you know it. It's right around the corner. It's June time already, which means it's time to start gearing up for it. The Rams coming off of a heartbreaking playoff loss last year, but we get to open our season in that same venue against that same exact team. You can't ask for much more than that. Let me know what games that you're going to. I'll be at the Packers game and the Bills game in LA for sure. Hopefully more. I got my eyes on the Jets. That would be the next one if I can get to one. And the Bears after that. If there's another one that I can get to, it would be in Chicago for what may be the final time the Rams see Soldier Field. So let me know what games you're going to. And you can comment below, and maybe we can see if we can we can get together or anything like that. It's unfortunate the Rams don't get a Denver play or preseason game, but hey, what can you do? We get that pretty often, and probably will continue to get that pretty often, so hard to complain about that. But thank you so much for hanging out again at Rams Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. That's where you can follow on all your favorite social media, ramshowcase.com. We got merch there, so be sure to stop on by and say what's up there. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fan Sided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams!